the leaves, but yeah, bagging them up and taking them away. Well, you're just taking a lot of nutrients away from the, yeah, from your lawn, if you have a lawn, or from your flower beds. It's not not a good idea, I don't think.
We can make a leaf pile and jump inside. That's what I like most about leaves.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
I'm Bruce Duncan. I'm Director of Watershed Planning and Engineering at the Hamilton Conservation Authority. We're walking in the Dundas Valley along one of the trails towards the Trail Center. And right now, when you look up at the tops of the trees, all the maples and little ironwood trees and ash trees, there are almost no leaves on them at all. They've all fallen, and the ground is absolutely covered with them. Beautiful browns and kind of oranges and yellows. Really, really pretty. But when you look up again, you do notice that the oak trees, like that one over there, still has pretty well all of its brown leaves sticking to it. And over in here, the beech trees have paler colored leaves, but still fastened. They're both in the same family. And that's normal. There are a few trees, deciduous trees, that keep their leaves through the winter and don't really drop them all until next year, when the new leaves are pushing out of the buds and the old leaves drop. And then you look up again, and of course the hemlocks that are here, and there's probably a white pine around if we look really hard, they've kept their leaves from this year. This year's spring leaves, needles, are on, and they won't drop them until next fall. And by next fall, they'll have brand new green needles, leaves, that will stay on for right through that winter. So we've got leaves on the trees that are green, leaves on the trees that are brown, and leaves all over the forest floor that have dropped. And they're all important, because if we didn't have the leaves, I suspect we probably wouldn't have a lot of the plants that are growing on the forest floor, like these ferns that are here. And here's a little flower called Herb Robert that stays green through the, leaves stay green through the winter. And all the other spring flowers, there's, looks like zigzag goldenrod and blue-stemmed goldenrod, because they depend upon these leaves on the forest floor rotting or being eaten and turned into soil in order for them to grow. So we've got all this more or less food for the forest floor that comes off the tops of the trees and then gets converted back into soil. And the interesting thing, if you look at a layer of leaves on the forest floor, the top layer right now, this is November 15th, this is a completely intact maple leaf, sugar maple, all through here. Here's an intact beech leaf, so there's one that did fall off a beech tree. Here's a basswood leaf, totally intact and, in, you know, full, almost nothing. wrong with them. But if you dig down a little deeper below the top layer, and it's maybe a centimeter or so thick of leaves. They're pretty wet and starting to get flattened. But you start to look down near the bottom, and there's only a fragment, and that's a beech leaf. If you look at it, you can see that the veins are just as straight as if somebody had drawn them with a ruler, so that's how you can tell that's beech. But this, I would guess, is last year's beech leaf, and it's only a piece of it, and there are holes in it, and it's just about falling apart in my hand. Whereas if I take this year's, very firm. So something's happened in the meantime, and then if you dig a little deeper even, you come up with even more fragmented remains. And this looks like just the veins and the stem, the leaf petiole, and there's a fragment of leaf, much darker now. There's hardly anything left except the thicker veins. This leaf has been eaten by animals, and as I was scratching the forest floor here, I got one of them, which was a little millipede rolled up. They feed on rotting leaves, and if you push away the leaves and look carefully at the forest floor, you can see some of the little pathways of some of those animals. Like here's probably where a worm has been walking or crawling, or the millipedes. And also, worms, when they feed on leaves, they come up from underground and they grab a hold of a chunk of a leaf or a leaf and they pull it down underground, eat it, and of course they digest it, and out the other end they poop basically soil, fertilizer for the soil. So do the millipedes. And so do a lot of other things that live in the soil that are even tinier. This is a huge source of food every year, all the leaves that drop off the tree. And those animals that feed on it then convert it from solid leaves, like we were looking at on the top layer, down into these fragments of veins and stems and maybe little bits of the leaf tissue itself. And these fragments then are affected by fungi. Here's a leaf stem with fungi all over it. They rot it down even further. They feed on the components, and eventually, of course, it just disappears and becomes soil. And then that soil is moved around by the earthworms, tunneling. They put basically air tunnels up and down through the soil, and rainwater that soaks down through the leaves and down into the soil, turn it over and mix the remains of leaves and the dead pieces into the topsoil. So the leaves, though, are basically the major food component for all of that. And we're seeing this year's application of natural fertilizer to the forest floor right now. Leaves are, when you look at a good leaf, here's a nice red oak leaf. This is really an extension of the vascular system of the tree. The vascular system being like the circulatory system, like in our bodies, the arteries and veins and so on. And nutrients, water and nutrients are moving up the tree through really long columns of cells right up to the branches. And when they get out to the fine branches at the tips where the growing leaves are, the leaf itself is a continuation of that vascular system. So the nutrients and the water come out and then down the finer veins and the really fine veins to all the cells of the leaves and provide those nutrients. Of course, photosynthesis goes on here, so the foods, the sugars, are produced, and they're sent back down through the whole vascular system to feed the rest of the tree. The bark, the growing area between the bark and the wood, the cambium, and down to the roots to feed them.
You are listening to Radio Free School.
A leaf falling off a tree doesn't aim itself. It just falls. And a lot of them drop right into a stream, as well as on the forest floor. And of course, when it rains or a wind blows, and the leaves up on the higher ground will get blown, or maybe a little gully forms and the water carries the leaves, always downhill, and they end up in the water. They get soaking wet, then they're not going to blow or move very much anymore, except with the stream, the current. It'll wash them downstream. What typically happens is that the leaves get soaked right through, so they're heavy. They sink to the bottom, and then instead of earthworms and millipedes and fungi feeding on the leaves, if you dig down and find a rock and lift it up, or a stick and lift it up, you can find animals. There's a little fly larva right there that lives in the water. But more frequently you'll find some caddisflies or stoneflies or mayflies, and they're ones that will feed on dead leaves. Typically they're called grazing insects because they graze on the leaves that are falling into the stream. Mm-hmm. So there will be a lot of grazers because it's like the herbivore level. Anywhere there are more herbivores than carnivores, but those grazers are basically getting food dropped from the trees right into their laps, and they feed on it, and then they in turn are fed on by the carnivores in the same way that the worms and the millipedes up here feeding on the dead plant material are really grazers or herbivores of the same sort. Other people call them scavengers because they're feeding on dead material, but they're low in the food chain, feeding on that. And then carnivores like shrews and beetles and other insects, as well as deer mice, a lot of birds will feed on those animals, and they're higher up, their excreta, they go to the bathroom as well, just like everything, also fertilize the soil. And of course, when you complete the cycle, you've got the leaves being turned into soil and being washed, that the nutrients from that soil wash down the wormholes towards the roots of the trees. Now the trees, a leaf is made up of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen mainly, but there are also, you know, a lot of other minerals like nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and others. But the carbon and the hydrogen and the oxygen come from water and air for the trees, so they don't really need a lot of that. That's not picked up through the soil. That's picked up through water and air. But the other nutrients that are fed upon out of the leaves and then broken down go back down into the soil and then are picked up by the roots and absorbed by the roots, sent back up the tree next spring. And they are used in photosynthesis to, for one thing anyway, to grow new leaves. Because nature has a way of things that work get reproduced. Even if it's not a particularly efficient way, if it's working, until something comes along to change it, then it'll carry on. The other interesting thing I find is that branches like this, there are a lot of big branches here, the wood is mainly carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. The bark will have other nutrients in it, like the leaves, but value of the wood itself to a growing tree or growing plants with carbon, hydrogen, oxygen is very, very little because they're picking up those elements from the air and from water. But that doesn't mean that a dead branch lying on the forest floor is useless, because it will provide cover for a very large number of small animals underneath it and inside it. And there are other things that do feed on carbon and hydrogen and oxygen in the wood itself. Fungi and some organisms that can digest those materials and use them. So it's certainly not as if it's a waste or it's not as valuable as leaves, it's just different.
okay?
Sure, let's go walking.
Okay.
See how nice those beaches look? The leaves still on them? I really like that. Oh, here we go. Here's white pine. So there's white pine, Ontario official tree emblem. And when you look at the leaves on white pine, the needles, we've got this year's growth at the tips of the branches, all green, and then the previous year's growth down here has turned brown. And usually this is a fallen dead branch. On the living trees, it typically turns a lovely bright orange. And for a week or two in October, you see the green ends and the orange needles just back from them, and it's a really attractive pattern, color. The forest floor, before European settlement, probably had a layer of leaves, what's called a duff layer, that probably was very thick, because nowadays the main feeders on leaves are earthworms, and almost every single species of earthworm in southern Ontario is non-native. Like we don't have basically any native earthworms or virtually none at all. So if you went back to pre-settlement times, 200 years ago for here, the way and the speed with which decomposition would have gone on would have been much slower. So you would have had a different forest floor cover, more like places in northern Ontario. If you go up there and walk around in the old bush, you get like a 6-inch carpet of really soft needles. And around here there are lots of oaks and beeches, and there are lots of white pines. All those things are somewhat more acidic as well, slower breaking down. So I think we would have had a quite different forest floor pre-settlement, pre-earths, and when there were more white pines and oaks growing compared to what we have today. So I think that probably would have affected ground flora, maybe made conditions quite different at a micro level for lots of things as well.
But how can these change colors?
Leaves have like the green color of leaf is really chlorophyll, so that when fall comes, the chlorophyll dies and the true colors come out. And those are the colors. Well, also, but some leaves also have that green for their real color, so when the green chlorophyll goes away, there's just green. The trees that lose their chlorophyll but still have green leaves aren't native to our land. And people try to get rid of them because they're not native. And they're trying to take over some. The end.
Okay, that's nice.
Thank you. I'm Noam Chomsky. You're listening to Radio Free School on CFMU 93.3.
Down, and then you get to clean leaf, and you can throw them on each other, and you can throw them on people's heads. Trees have different colors. They have pink and yellow and brown and black and orange and yellow and red and purple and blue and everything, green and gray, and the trees have bark on them. Mm-hmm. And when you take all the bark off, you see insects eat leaves.
Shapes of leaves.
Leaves have different shapes, and they can be round and like this, and they can be like this, or they can be like this, or like this, or like this. Leaves are red, yellow, black, brown. They can also be, some leaves are green and they don't even change colors. They can be pointed or round or half round like this. So get lots of you to me. We come long,
You always come for a visit of leaves. We always come nearer and nearer and nearer. The leaves come nearer. Is this? We come nearer to the flute. We always come. We play the leaves asleep to bed. And we will also pretend to be you leaves. Now we will play you to bed. Leaves, dogs flee from them, horses fly. The end.
I'm a rambler and a rover, and a wanderer it seems. I've traveled all over, chasing after my dreams. But a dream should come true, and a heart should be filled, and a life should be piney wood hills. I'll return to the woodlands. I'll return to the snow. I'll return to the hills and the valley below. I'll return as a poor man or a king of God wills. But I'm
myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1C. Oh.